You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Tim Rebo Show on 100.3 FM, ESPN New Orleans. And now, live, here's the voice of the Colonels, Bryant Johnson.
Well, Bryant Johnson is not here tonight. I want to thank our sponsors, State Senator Gary Smith, Joe Septic Contractor, Vision Communications, and, of course, the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. Pitch hitting for Bryant is Rafe Blades, and without further ado, take it away, Coach.
Good afternoon, Colonel fans and football fans in the audience. Welcome to downtown Thibodaux and Rotolo's Pizza. This is Rafe Blades. I'll be filling in for Brian Johnson this week. And I have the man right here sitting beside me that inspires us to come here every Monday.
I pay y'all to come here every Monday.
Talk a little Colonel football. The head football coach of your 8-2 and 17th ranked Nicholls State football team, Coach Tim Rebo. Coach.
Hey, I know y'all know this, but out there on the radio waves that Rafe's a former baseball player here, and I know the head baseball coach, he got you bribed, and they already said got you pinch hitting. I thought this was a football show, and now you're pinch hitting in the baseball. What's going on here?
I pinch hitting just for this week. I made that clear. This will be the last time. But I'm really excited to be around because it's such a great time for Colonel football. And as I look through this audience, this had to be part of your game plan to turn this program around, was to get not only ex-players or people already associated with the program, but to get the whole city of Thibodaux involved in this program.
Yeah, it was good. You know, we did the show in Homer for a while, and we brought it back to Rotolo's here in Thibodaux, hoping to get a audience to come here and come to the show. And I tell you, it's been fantastic. You look around, the regulars around, they're coming here and supporting us and come have some good food, some good fun, and talk about some good football. So I think it's been a win-win situation. Hopefully we continue this marriage and keep it going for a little while.
Yeah, I think Al Davis said it best, and this kind of shows the characteristics of your football team. The same thing keeps happening week after week, and that's win, baby, win. So the Colonels are coming off a 34-13 win versus Stephen F. Austin this week.
Yeah, you know, it all goes back to the preparation. And, you know, we have that conversation a lot about how the week's going to go for us. And we have a sign that we tap in every day, and it talks about and you know, in football, you steal everything from other people.
Absolutely.
And from other coaches, and you do that. But one of the things that we talk about is how you practice is how you're going to play. And we go through that. And it's a sign we got from a pretty good pro team, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Absolutely.
And it talks about practice execution becomes game reality.
Right.
And those guys tap into that every week. And, well, I thought last week, you know, coaches, sometimes you can put too much into it. Sometimes we overanalyze things. You know that in the coaching world.
Absolutely.
But we looked at Tuesday and Wednesday, and we had some really, really good practices. I thought we had some physical practices, but it was clean. And boy, that sure showed up on Saturday. The guys were ready. They were so focused and locked in. And we turned in a pretty good performance and, you know, came away with the win on the road in a place that's been very, very tough for the Colonel football team to win in the past. So
yeah,
to go on the road in this conference and get a win as always, and to do it when you got a little winning streak on the line and going on and win number six, and doing it in a place where I think you've only won three times in, you know, in the history of the series, and a dominating performance. And it was good for us. It was just a good win all the way around.
Yeah, you speak a lot about practice and how important that is. Let's talk about a kid named Ty Smith, who was not only offensive Southland Conference Player of the Week, but also National Freshman of the Week. Now, where was this kid start on the depth chart at the beginning of the year?
Well, you know what? He was a walk-on last year, and he came in. We thought we could maybe get him in on some special teams. But he started on a scout team, and we talk about that all the time. Just go to work every day, put your helmet on, practice hard, and good things will happen to you. And, boy, I tell you what, he just flourished. I thought a couple weeks into the season that maybe he'd get his chance to play. He was fresh. He was looking good in practice, and it didn't really come about. But he never got down. You know, he never got down on himself. He knew if he just kept working, his time would come. And I got to tell you something, Rafe. We had a Dr. Murphy comes in, the president comes speak to us every week, and he gives us some motivational messages, and we do a little presentation. And his message this week was about being tapped on the shoulder. you know, to being saying if your number is called or you're going to be ready. So if you're ready to be tapped on the shoulder, will you be ready? And I referenced that in the locker room after the game, that that kid, Taj Smith, was ready to go, and we tapped on him, and we had a couple of running backs banged up, and he stepped on. He only had one carry. How about that one carry all year going into it? And he rushes 23 times for 170-something yards and gets player of the week in the conference. And then it comes out being the stats national freshman of the week. But it just goes to show you, be ready, go to practice, be positive every day. Don't hang your head, and, you know, you go to work. But he started down on the list. You know, if you go into the season, and we had Dontrell Taylor, and you had Kyron Irvin, you had Mason Boudreau, you had Donnell Adair, and then Jeremy Rounds comes on the scene. And then probably Taj, to be realistic, probably number six in that order. And, boy, he just stepped up big time. And you know this, though, if you get a guy who rushes for 160 yards, Kyron Irvin did that in the first half, and then you get another guy who rushes for 170 yards, that's a good job by the running backs, but obviously there's some things happening pretty good up front.
Right, absolutely.
And you get those big linemen blocking for him, and the tight ends, receivers out wide who were unselfish. I just think it was a good effort all the way around.
Yeah, our offense ended with 418 yards of rushing in that game.
And, you know, we go into we talk about if we take care of us, and if we talk about the Colonels each week, know your opponent, respect your opponents, but if we worry about us, then we can have some success. And we say this every week, and we talk about it as a staff, we talk about it as a team every day, is that we will do whatever it takes to win a game. And so that means offensively, if it means we got to throw it every down, if it means we got to run it every down, you know, whatever is hot, that's what we're going to do. And we didn't have to throw it in the game. We did, and Chase threw for 100-something yards. Right. The receivers were there making big plays. I mean, you got freshman Deshaun Dixon again making a big catch. But, you know, whatever the game is going to take for us to win, we'll do that. And that just goes by a lot of unselfish players that we have, because it's easy to be a wideout saying, hey, I want to get the ball thrown to me every play. Or I want to be the running back. I want to touch it every time. Or I'm the O-line coach, and my O-line, we want to block for the run. Hey, right. We're going to do whatever it takes for the Colonels to win a football game, and that's producing some pretty good results.
Yeah. Not to be outdone, Kenny Dotson had 3.5 sacks in that game, and he was named Southland Conference Defensive Player of the Week as well.
Well, it's good. Anytime, like you said, you get a dominating performance like that where the defense will hold them to under 300 yards of offense in today's game. You look back at what Stephen F. has been doing. They started off a little rough spot, and then the last four games, you know, we talked about it last week, they were playing really well. They played a very good Sam Houston team and fought them down to the wire. They played a Central Arkansas team who was ranked number three in the country, and Central beat them in the last play. Then they go to the last two games, and they win big. They got their running game going. So they were doing a lot of good things. They were developing their quarterback. Me and Coach Conk talked about it before the game in midfield that, you know, when you can get the running game going, it helps a quarterback. You know, it helps him in the whole play of things. And, well, we just went out and shut the running game down. And that talks about our front. And when we got him in some third down situations, pin years back, and that's what Coach Camp preaches to the D-line. And we got that from, you know, way going back to Coach Pete Jenkins, okay? You got to earn that right to rush the passer. Meaning, win first down, win second down, get him to third down to throw it. Then you pin years back and you go get him. And that's what Kenny Dotson did. And he had 3.5 sacks. And let me tell you, he clearly missed another sack. He could have had 4.5 sacks. And I was reading today that it was the most sacks by a D-line in a game, you know, this year, 3.5 sacks. And he was good coming off the edge, beating guys inside. But I thought it was some good studying by those guys, too, because we thought we can take advantage of their tackles. They showed some things on film. Obviously, good players, we've been talking about that, knowing your opponent. He studied their offensive linemen all week, and he knew what moves he can go to in those situations, and then closing out the deal when he had a chance to.
Yeah, you always hear coaches say win all three aspects of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. I don't know how many people know Coach Rebo is a special teams coach on his football team. How important is it to have a kid like LaRon Fonseca?
Well, he's another one who had a great game, and he was the special teams honorable mention player of the week.
How about that?
So to have – you know, all three being recognized. And very, very proud of all of them. We talk about that when you get those individual awards, how big that is for the team. You know, that we get a lot of recognition coming from that. But LeRon is so special.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, in field goals, he was 2 for 2, which you can't, you know, place a value, man. Those field goals, getting points, coming away with it. Long, short, it don't matter. Where he's really flourished for us, too, is in kickoffs. You know, by now, you know, he kicked off 7 times, and I think he had 5 of them that were touchbacks. And what that does for a team, you know, keeps them from getting the momentum, starting at the 25-yard line, making teams go to distance. And, you know, there are so many stats out there about how the percentage increased the closer those guys start, you know, to the 50-yard line. And so for them to be able to go 75, 80 yards every time is really, really tough. So we're proud of LeRon. It's been a special year for him. He's breaking records, you know, all the time, and I think he's not done.
Yeah. You know, we saw the rush, and I want to get a little bit behind the scenes here. When you rush a ball for over 400 yards, there has to be something you've seen prior to the game. I know you said you kind of go with the flow of the game. Was this something y'all saw as a staff early on in the week when y'all was preparing for this?
Well, I think you got to be prepared. I got to give our offensive coaches credit, Coach Rob, Christopher, and Coach Lee Roussel, and then another special young man, Coach Russ Gisclair,
sure,
who's going to be with us later, who coaches the tight ends. You got to prepare nowadays, I think, for multiple types of defenses. You know, you never know what you're going to get. But we knew they were a 3-down front and some of the things that they were going to do. I just think when you get in game, I thought our guys made some adjustments of some of the things that we were seeing. And maybe getting giving us an edge. Maybe we can get some outside zone going, and maybe doing some other things and running some zone up the middle. So I think that, I mean, there's a lot of prep that goes into it.
Yep.
And then I think there's a lot of things that go into it at the beginning of the game. Also, you look at what teams are going to do at halftime. You know, you go into the locker room and say, hey, okay, we're running the ball pretty good in the first half. Kyron's got 160 yards. They may adjust and do some things. So I think you got to be ready on the other side to adjust and do it. We came out in the second half and we saw some of the same things. And we would be able to exploit that a little bit. But our guys blocked well up front. And I got to mention those guys, if I can, with Ryan Hanley starting at center. And you got Brian Hernandez and Demetrius Gleaton playing. And you got Eddie Houston and Chandler Arsenault. And when you look at it, and then Blake Hartman came in.
Sure.
We got banged up. You know, Hernandez goes down some. Eddie got banged up again. He's nicked up. He got rolled up a couple times. And nobody knows this, but Chandler Arsenault, our All-American tackle, was playing, was sick. And I know I don't want to really gross anybody out with eating, but he's throwing up on the field in our first drive. But the kid would not come out of the game. You know, so that's the kind of guys we got to have up front. You throw in Stephen LaBeouf and David Mosley at tight end, who I thought had their best games of the year. They were active, showing up in the blocking game. And then that opens up some passing game for them. They both caught a pass in the game. So I just think all around it was really, really a really great effort.
Okay. Well, look, we'll be back and talk a little tight ends, the tight end football coach at Nicholls State, Coach Russ Gisclair, right after this break.
Rebo Show. We are brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center right here in Thibodeau. And, Coach, what happens when a ball's batted to the third baseman and he bobbles it?
I believe they call that an error.
Big error. Well, we made an error earlier. We omitted a few of our sponsors. Dantan Chevrolet, we want to thank them, and also Clayton Holmes in Thibodeau and Homa, and also Fletcher Technical Community College, Alario Brothers on the West Bank, and, of course, we're right here at Rotolo's Pizza. Now I'm going to hand the ball over to you guys.
Welcome back to Rotolo's Pizza.
I don't know if that's an error. I thought we just maybe saving some for, you know, a little bit later to get them a good mention. That's how we do it.
Spreading it out.
Yeah.
I'm joined, of course, by Coach Tim Rebo, and now we're joined by tight end Coach Russ Gisclair. Coach, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
One thing you get here is you get a free pass. Like, I can make a few errors, and you can say a few things you normally wouldn't see because we're a little nervous, right? So tell us all what it's like to work for Coach Rebo.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Shoot it straight.
Oh, no,
the long hours.
Tell the truth, man. Tell the truth. Let's go.
I was really excited when he called me and brought me back, and I was a little nervous at first, you know, first time job at this level, and the coaches and the whole staff, really, it's a pleasure to work. Like, you enjoy going to the office every morning. You wake up and you're excited to go.
That's right.
And we just have a great relationship across the board, and Coach Rebo does a great job of, you know, we work hard in the office, and then, you know, we do things outside the office together that I think really helps, and everybody's just on the same page. It's a real enjoyment to be around.
Yeah. I may be wrong, correct me if I'm not, to show that what he's saying is true. Is this staff the same staff that you had last year coaching?
Yes. We had them all. So, and you know, Russ, I was excited to get a young coach, and Russ is young. I mean, that's a compliment. A young, quality coach like him, so knowledgeable about the game of football. And one of the best things is, as you know, we like to take care of people from the area, being from here, born and raised in the area, and was a former Colonel football player. So, you know, by being playing and come back and coach at your alma mater, you know he has something special, how bad he wants to see this place succeed. And Russ was working with some of the guys when they're not so happy times. It just happened.
Right. Yep.
You know, but to come back, and he is a huge, huge part of the success and the turnaround that we have.
Yeah. And I coached high school for a few years, and one of the things I miss the most, and I see it because I'm around the field house a lot with you guys, is that camaraderie that y'all have. I see y'all spending long hours together, but also seeing y'all having fun. And I think when you win, it generates that fun as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Winning will make a lot of things feel better, you know? But
yeah.
It's just great to be able to go into work and enjoy what you're doing and enjoy the people around you, and then to be able to leave the office on a weekend and, you know, watch a ball game together and not just go home and be with your families, but you all together. It's really one big family. It's
pleasure.
We've all been on staffs that have coached around, and the closer the staff is, I think the more success you can have. And I think the players know that. I mean, I think the players see that and feed off of that and how close this group is. And I've been on several staffs over the last 20 years in college, and we've had some that were really, really close and some that were not so close. And I can really look back and say the ones that are the most successful are the ones that were a family and got along, and their families did a lot of things together. And I think that's what we have with these guys. And there's a mixture of, there's a old guy like me and Coach Rob Christoffel and all the way down to the young bucks like Sean Murphy and Lee Roussel and Russ, you know, and everywhere in between. But if those guys can get along, and you know this too, winning does help those things, and doing that makes it more enjoyable to come to the office. But I do say that as the job of the head coach is, I don't want to change anybody, and I don't want to change who we are. And we're going to be the same way and come to work every day and act the same way, whether you win a game or you lose a game, okay? Because we're going to have to go to work and do those things, and we got a great young staff that stays together.
The success is coming, in my opinion, the right way. I know you guys personally. I know how important family is to you, and you have a great work-family balance in that field house back there as well. So, Coach, you've been here for the full 3 years, correct, that Coach has been
sir.
Here? When did you see? I know you always believe, but when did you see? Was it right away? You know, the fans started coming a little bit more. People started hanging out a little more. When did you start seeing a turnaround, or when did you know that this was going to happen, that this program was going to go to losing so many games in a row to being 8-2 and ranked 17 in the nation right now?
Well, really, for our first home game that first year, you kind of just feel it. The environment for the first home game was a little different, a little bit more people in the stands, a little bit more excitement. The team, you know, just played extremely hard that first year. We battled. And then going into year two, at the very beginning of the year, you could kind of feel it, a lot more leadership and a lot more excitement, and it just kept building. And really,
tailgate
is better.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you get a lot more players and alumni coming back, and you see them around, and it just builds more confidence. And really, that Georgia game, I mean, how could you not just be overly excited after that one?
That's
and think
a great
this
point,
is turning
Russ.
The corner.
That's a great point. On the road and had a good performance, and people did that and wanted to come back and see what we were about. And I think once they come and they're having a great experience, and I know Matt Rohn and his staff preach that all the time about having a great experience at the game, you know, you got them wanting to come back. And how many people have told us and have told you over the past that, hey, man, it was so good, I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to come back here because the tailgate is so good, and there's a good product on the field, and it's worth it, you know. It's just good. Now, also, I think when you start like we did this year with a big home game, a Thursday night against McNeese.
Absolutely.
It was electric. Electric. Yeah. And I know that crowd helped us to that victory. And so if we can do that, and then, it, you know, next week, the next week, and the next week. So it just goes from there.
I'll tell you, if you hadn't seen this football team here, or if you hadn't seen them on the road, this Thursday at 6 o'clock would be a perfect place to go watch the Colonels. They take on Southeastern in Strawberry Stadium at 6 o'clock this Thursday. Listen, you can get your tickets by phone, or you can get your tickets in person at Barker Building. But go get them and go see these Colonels play on the road.
You know, what we can do is we can make it a home game in Hammond.
Absolutely.
Parks. You know, we can turn Strawberry Stadium into Guidry.
That's right.
You know, and let's make it red and get all the people there, and let's support it, and let's pack it and show how we travel. And they can help us carry the Riverbell trophy back home.
Train's moving. Jump on it. Coach, talk a little personnel, tight end personnel.
I'll start off with Stephen LaBeouf, senior tight end, kind of the leader of my group, mm-hmm. and he does a really good job. Hard worker, leads by example, says stuff when he feels he needs to, and he's been playing really well the past couple of years.
You know, it's funny he says that. I got to watch Stephen grow up from E.D. White and play ball, and I actually got to watch him play a lot of basketball, and you can even see those leadership qualities. They don't stop on the football field. Those leadership qualities go in all aspects of life, and you can see that from him as a basketball player.
He's a really good example for the other tight ends in my room. I mean, he is excellent off the field, on the field, in the classroom. Great grade point average, plays hard, and really helps the young guys along. You know, it's one of the things I love about him. You know, we had David Mosley come in as a true freshman, big, strong kid, and mature beyond his age, really, to tell you the truth.
Right.
And, you know, Steven helped me and kind of took him under his wing and kind of taught him how the college football thing works and what we expect, and got him up to speed. And so he's playing well for us too right now. And you have Garrett LeBlanc, who does a great job, plays hard, contributes on every special teams, plays a little bit on offense. Same thing with Jordan Talley, really athletic tight end, works hard, plays hard. You know, kind of the personality in my room, you know.
Sure.
Keep everybody up and chipper and smiling with his jokes and everything. And then you got Cam Carey, who's he's coming along. He's nicked up right now, but it'll be really good to see him with a full year, off season, and fall, being healthy and ready to go, because he was making some strides before he went down with that injury.
Right. Yeah. Well, talk to me, being a local high school coach around the area, just talk to me how that helps you. You know, a lot of times people frown upon – not all people. A lot of people frown upon high school coaches. You know, you can't get to that next level. Talk to me about the positive side of that. How is that helping you recruit the local players or recruit the players in this area?
Well, it really started off because been around the high school area around here for a while now, growing up with my dad being at Solid Foods for the past, you know, 30-something years.
How many years?
I think it's 32, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Tommy.
So going to every game with him, meeting all the coaches, and you know, and then after I got done playing, I actually spent a year at Vanderbilt Catholic coaching there with Jeremy Atwell and Mike Walker and all those guys, and got to meet some more high school coaches that way. And it's been great because I already have a previous relationship with a lot of high school coaches in the area, right, which it makes it a lot easier to go in there and talk to them about recruiting and seeing talent and building a relationship with their players and them giving me feedback on who we should look at and stuff like that. I think it's great.
You're not going to talk about the other Just Claire in the family?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you're not going to mention him. You have an opportunity on the radio.
Well, you know how that goes. Older brother, you know, he always got to take a shot at him when he can, so I was going to leave him out. But no, I'm just kidding. Then you have my older brother who also played at Nichols and coached at Nichols, and he actually coached 2 years at Solid Fouche. You know, big brother, look up to him, and met a lot of people through him. Always, you know, growing up on his coattail, watching him. I mean, I'm looking at Noah Dumas down there, play with him, and my brother played with him, so that's how I met Nolan, and it was great.
Yeah, being from the area, being a former player, I tell you, I played here, and looking at a coach that I had that was a former player here, and players really look at you, and they buy in a lot quicker. You've been a colonel. You know what it's like to be a colonel. You know, now you're leading some colonels, yeah.
And, boy, about family, when you grow up in the coaching family, you know, it's nothing like it, but on that sideline growing up and then watching your dad coach and then your brothers and then go and play the game, I mean, it's in your blood, Russ. I mean, you're not going to do anything else, so you're not going anywhere.
Right. There's not a day goes by that I don't miss coaching, doing what you guys do, and being impact in people's lives.
Rafe, hold on. You played baseball.
I did.
And you coached what sport?
Basketball.
Basketball. And now you're here with football. I mean, make up your mind.
I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. I'll tell you what. Coach, thanks for joining us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little baseball after the message. After the message with head baseball coach.
Thank you, Coach Russ.
Welcome back to Downtown Thibodaux and Rotolo's Pizza. I'm Ray Blades. I'm joined by head football coach, Coach Tim Rebo. And now we have a special guest, head baseball coach, Coach Seth Thibodaux. Coach.
Rafe, thank you for having me, man. Coach Rebo, thanks for having me on.
Hey, Rafe's doing a good job here tonight, huh?
This guy's
good
a job.
Seven arrows
really
so
good.
Far. Seven really arrows, good. They said, so far.
Hey, but listen to this. It happens, and we can say it on the radio. We have a little running crew that we go in the morning, and sometimes I get sandwiched between you two baseball guys, and here I am again on the radio
again.
Set, sandwiched between you two baseball guys.
At least for the
can
first
we,
mile.
Can we talk a little bit of football?
Talk some football, and then we'll get to the real sports.
Well, I want to talk the first thing to both of you guys about a little event we have. It's the second year this year. It's the Nichols Football Baseball Golf Tournament called the Roth-Hamilton Golf Tournament.
It's the baseball football.
Yeah.
We had an incredible turnout today. It was beautiful weather. Again, if you missed that, you need to join it next year. It's an incredible time. Bunch of old faces you see out there, both football and baseball. Coach, it was a great success again, correct?
It was a success because you left there. Everybody had big smiles on their faces. It was good to see so many former players there, football and baseball, Colonel supporters. I know we have a lot of people to thank for a great day, but Coach Rebo's wife was out there working hard,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know if she was working. I mean, she might have been
working.
Out there hugging Miss Terrell while out there, but I don't know how much their work was going on.
Well, I appreciate them. But it was a great day. It was awesome. It's good to see so many people there. We had 32 teams playing. It was a lot of fun. Great, beautiful day. A lot of red on the golf course.
There's a lot that goes into it, Seth, putting on a golf tournament. And you and your staff have done a tremendous job of getting this thing ready. I know that. And there's a lot of outside people and a lot of sponsors and a lot of donations.
Yeah. And The thank yous are endless because – Ben Malbro was out there cooking for us. And
absolutely.
Rafe was out there helping run the show. Greg Gravois was a big part of it, too. And
What about that other fella, Tommy Meyer?
Well, I was going to bring up the most important guy, Tommy Meyer, even though he got beat last night in game one of our Fall World Series by Rafe.
We'll get to
that. I was
going to
ask who the coach was. Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't, there's still two games left. It's been a while since Tommy's had a win. So
Wait, you do have a mic. You could have – we have questions. You can come up to the and talk about it.
I want to talk a little bit about what I see when I'm hanging around the office or going to games, and I see the camaraderie between the baseball and football coach, and that's something special. You don't see that at a lot of universities. You don't see that at a lot of high schools. So, Coach, what's it like to have a guy come in like this that's kind of trying to do the same thing you've been able to do,
well,
get people involved and win?
It's an absolute treat. You can share ideas. The morale, when you see the football players walking through, there's the relationship with them and our baseball players is awesome because they have the same, mindset. They have the same goals. Look, it starts in the weight room, too. Greg Carasquillo has done an amazing job with our guys. The culture there is good. So we all get along good. We all, we work well. It's so much fun to come in the office, and I don't have to go. And we should do something that a lot of schools aren't able to do. We share the same building. It's easy for me to go in Coach Christoffel's office and talk a little football and baseball with him just to get a little release for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
things like that. It's fun, and our assistants all work really well together. It's an absolute treat to be around these guys because they rub off on us well, and it's fun, and it's important.
I think one of the common bond amongst all of us is food, and Coach Seth does a great job of that. He's always bringing in food. Coach, I don't know if you're trying to get it out your office, but he's always bringing in pizza or snacks and bringing it into the guy. No, but really, it's a pleasure to have him. Our offices are right across from each other, and I tell everybody this, and I wanted to model our football program after the things he's done in baseball, and I think we believe in the same things about little things being important and discipline and,
sure.
and all that. So we do bounce a lot off each other, and I think I bounce more off of him. And I know I go sit on his couch at times and just, hey, man, what about this and what about that? And he's always there to lend an ear and do that. So big supporter. He's at every game. He gets his players to go out and support. Seth, I think that's another thing that, cross-reference, getting the guys to go support each other
sure.
at the games and get them out there. And
Our guys take a win and a loss the same way from another sport, especially football. You know, they take a lot of pride in it.
I want to mention one of the things that you do and not a lot of people know about it is the scout report.
Yes, every Friday.
I mean, that is awesome.
That's every Friday, our freshmen give a scouting report on our opponent. We grade them on it.
For football.
That's right.
Football. Football season. Yeah. So I get all the time that, hey, that running back's doing this, and they predict the scores.
Yes.
And how many times they're right on.
They've given PowerPoints on what we need to do to stop them. So I've shared it with Coach.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's used it.
It's helped.
We used it last week.
Yeah.
Y'all did the running game last week, right?
We did. We had a lot of responsibility behind that.
That just shows you how much into it and what they, you know, what they believe in. And it's good to have their support, man. His assistants are great, too.
Yeah,
they're right there. We work with each other. And I tell you, he's so good to, I don't want to say my assistant, our assistants are all coaches.
Yeah.
You know, they're so good with each other and always working together and always having fun together.
Yeah. You know, if you go look at the football field and you're around Nickel State now, you see the improvements on the football field, the turf, the clean stadium, the scoreboard with the big screen on it. You know, we had a success really good at getting people involved, the old players, and we had a major league coach there this weekend and couldn't believe the improvements at Ray Didier Field. And we're going to talk a little bit about those improvements and what you have going on. Some of the things Coach Seth's been able to do since he's been here is turf on the field, dugout sink, improved lights. So the things are really moving forward on the baseball field. But talk a little bit more about the facility improvement.
We've had some great help. We've had some great support, you know, and for us to be able to name our stadium Ben Meyer Diamond was awesome.
Absolutely.
And certainly an awesome tribute to Tommy and the help he's been able to give to us. But it's a village. You know, I've heard a wise man once say it's not a person. It takes a village to make it right. And so that's why we're fortunate. Not just baseball, the whole school right now is just certainly a buzz. And I think a lot of it comes from our awesome coaches in the athletic department, our awesome athletic director. You know, football certainly gets the thing shaking. And
you got to mention our basketball coaches.
Love our basketball coach. I hope we get us a big W this week at Villanova, which
absolutely.
We certainly should. But
I think he's a football baseball guy at heart. Don't you think Richie Riley is?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. He's got some football mindset and a little baseball to him as well. So it makes us want to go out there and support him as well. But he's awesome. But listen, it takes a community. It's not just one person. It's just you got to show some people that you can and you will. And so that's what makes Nickel special. It's the people around and everybody wants to be a part of it. So, you know, it is. It's been the baseball stadium's taken off, the football stadium's taken off. It's a great time. And listen, this is my third football coach. I'm not that old.
That's
this
right.
is the third football coach that I've worked with here and certainly the best for sure. And someone I can confide in and work with and get ideas from. And he'll certainly share his ideas on the baseball stadium as well. He's a baseball guy, too.
Oh, baseball guy at heart. Hey, listen
right.
to this. I'm not going anywhere for a while, so hopefully you're gonna stick around and stay here. We got a couple years together and make this thing work.
I feel like when I can get a set of headsets for a football game, then I feel like we've made it.
Pipe in
I'll tell you this. I'll give you the special team headsets now.
Ooh. If I only have to show up on Saturdays, I'm in.
I think one of the keys to success, and we saw Coach Rebo doing it, you're very good at this, how important is it to not only get people involved, to get ex-players involved,
whoa, whoa.
Get the whole community
I gotta
involved?
I got to stop you. Rafe, I got to stop you right there. I got that from him. He gets more of his guys involved. I respect that so much about all the former guys coming back to this place and the things that he does for them. And I'm taking a page out of his book and trying to get a lot of the players back in. I think that's tremendous.
Let me give you an example of how persistent Coach Seth is. I played here from 89 and 94, and I started getting calls when Coach Seth became the head coach. And I believe I was coaching at the time, wasn't answering all my calls. And he finally left me a message and said, Rafe, I'm going to call you every day until you come meet with me and talk to me. Of course, I was there the next day.
You're
so is that
come.
The key, persistence?
You have to. And then, look, I was a pretty shy guy when I took over, and believe it or not, I still am. So it's not easy to pick up that phone, but you're going to do it. But it's your program. It's not mine. It's Bobby Dickerson's program. It's Greg Gravois' program. It's all the guys that played here. It's their program. And I've always wondered if my place that I played would do this, how neat it would be. So I always wanted to make sure wherever I coached it was like that. And so, again, it's the alumni. Tradition never graduates. And certainly there's been some great tradition here. It's important that all those great players are a part of it. And all the guys that have ever worn a uniform here, that they have a touch, they can touch the program. I don't want them to be I don't want the program to be a unicorn to them, for lack of a better phrase. I want them to be able to touch the program and be a part of it. And there's more to come. We got to keep going at it and make sure they come back. But just to have you involved and coaching our guys right now, it means the world to them. It means the world to our players. That Greg Gravois will go out there. For the Bobby Dickerson, one of the most respected infield coaches in the game of baseball in the world, to be able to go out there and work with our infielders last night and cut up with them, it means the world to them. And you can't, you know, when your alumni can touch the program, to me, it means a lot to me.
I think that's where you hit a home run, use the old baseball term.
Yeah.
Is you getting not just the guys that you've coached over the last couple of years, but you reaching back to all of them through all the coaches and making them feel special.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's not always done at places. And I've been to some places now where a new baseball coach comes in and he kind of gets rid of the past. He don't want
it's
nothing
hard.
To do. Yeah.
It's a hard thing. It's not an easy thing because everybody has their own ideas.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I'm not going to do this without the former players. Football players, basketball players, don't matter. We're going
to
make sure they come back. Because Nichols is a neat place. You always have a great story to share about it. All the guys from the 70s, 80s. Look, we had players from the 60s today on the golf course, the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and as recently as a couple of years ago, playing on the golf tournament. You know, we had generations of players today.
It was
awesome.
Really neat at one point. I was in a conversation with three men from close to the same generation, a big league coach right now with the Baltimore Orioles, an ex-San Diego Padres pitcher,
mm-hmm.
and an ex-Oakland A's pitcher.
That's
right here in Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Right there, standing right
there.
The
stories and the camaraderie, you could see that they missed that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good to see them all.
You know what was
back.
Even more special is to get Richie Griot and Rock Ruiz to
Absolutely.
Come in from the North Shore. And everybody always tells me that old Bobby Taylor is one of the best athletes to ever play here. But not only these guys, we got old Rusty Rebo out there, too.
Absolutely.
I'm riding on the golf course, and Bobby Dickerson, the first person he's asked for is that Rusty Rebo?
How about that?
Someone he looked up to years ago, you know.
All colonels,
it was cool. Yeah. And those guys got to share an old colonel hug and a high five and talk about some good times.
You mentioned that. Bobby Dickerson never knew how much he impacted Greg Gravois' life. Like.
Yeah.
Greg was a bat boy
crazy
when he was here playing.
And he's in shock that Greg remembers stories.
Absolutely. He remembered them to a T. So, Coach, talk a little fall baseball right now. Now, I know it's a good time and it's a fun time. You split the teams up.
Yes.
You get in some coaches. I coach one team. Coach Tommy Meyer coaches the other. But forget about the score. What are you looking at right now?
Wait. Well, forget about what?
The score. It was kind of bad.
Forget about the score. We won't talk about the score.
Whose team won?
But, Coach Meyer's team did not win.
We eked it out.
Ralph's team. Rafe, your team won?
It was close. Yeah, it was a close one. We had to shut it down after 7. But it was close. But anyway, fall baseball has been awesome. You know, to practice on the turf now has been amazing. The weather has been incredible. The excitement our guys have on the weekends. There's something to football season that gives you a little spark during the fall. And so our guys have been great. We've got some great leadership. We've got some good players. Some guys that are healthy that weren't healthy last year are back. So it's been a good run. It's been a good fall. You know, we got a long way to go. But, but before you know it, Stony Brook's going to be here for opening day. So.
All right. We're good. Well, we appreciate it, Coach.
Same thing. You know how fast it goes with coaches because you work so hard and you look for the next day and the next day.
Yeah.
I can remember it was just August. We in camp. We're getting ready to start our first game against McNeese, and here we are the last week of the season. So it flies by.
Don't blink.
Yep.
It goes.
Coach Seth, thanks for joining
us. Thank you for having us.
Enjoy the visit,
thank
and we'll see y'all in a
coach,
minute.
Coach, thanks for all the support.
Go,
man.
Colonels.
Good luck.
Thank you, Coach.
The Tim Rebo Radio Show. Welcome back to downtown Thibodaux and Rotolo's Pizza. I'm Ray Blaze, and we had such a good time that Coach Seth Thibodaux decided to stay up here and talk a little Southeastern football game this weekend. Coach, glad you could stay. Coach, talk to me about it being a marathon, not a sprint. Now, I know there's a lot of kids banged up, and I know Southeastern has a lot of people banged up as well. That's something that happens in football.
I thought this season we did such a great job. Coach Greg in the weight room preparing our guys. You're always going to have some injuries, but the recovery time in our guys and coming back has been fantastic. I think we're as healthy as we're going to be right now. We're not getting anybody back, you know, that had some surgeries, whatever. The little bit of the downside of this thing, the negative, whatever, is Southeastern was off last week.
Right.
You know, they had an open date, so they can sit there all week and rest and recuperate and get back. You know, and then play on a Thursday night. You know, for us, playing on a Thursday night, coming off of a tough Saturday game. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge for us, but we're looking forward to it. Look, there's no guarantees, and I told the team this just because last week Stephen F. Austin had an open date before we played him also. You know, so it's how you respond, how you come back. Our guys came back Sunday night with a great mindset. I thought we had two really good practices. We'll be ready to go Thursday at 6:07 kickoff.
Yeah. Guys, again, if you hadn't been on the road to watch this Colonel football team, you can get your tickets either by phone or go to Barker Hall. Get your tickets, and let's turn that into our field.
We need to turn Strawberry Stadium red on Thursday.
Seth, you've been talking to a bunch of people. It should be a good little crew getting together.
Jody Amadi and all those guys from Gonzalez, a bunch of former Southeastern and Nichols athletes are getting together, so I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, they're talking about a big tailgate.
Huge tailgate.
I know the whole crew from Lutcher and Gonzalez. They're all getting together. They're going to cook. There'll be plenty of food. People are going to be out there. It's going to be an exciting game. You know, I talked about it earlier today. I had another interview and was talking about the rivalry. It's back.
You know, kind of.
Absolutely.
Sometimes when it gets to be one side of it, you know, you lose a little bit. Exactly. And I think by us beating them 2 years ago and they got it back, but we got to go out there and get that Riverbell Trophy back here.
And this is no slouch Southeastern team, man. They're 5-3 in conference.
They got some great ideas.
5-3, 5-5 overall. I mean, same place we were last year. I mean, they're looking to play for winning season. They are so explosive on offense. I mean, people got to understand. They got a transfer quarterback from South Carolina. They've got three running backs that got over 500 yards, and then he makes a fourth. So they are very explosive on offense. They're averaging like 36 points a game. They can strike at any time. A little bit different. It's more of an option-based offense. They run the ball 70% of the time, but they got a lot of weapons they can go
to. With all that you're saying, how hard is it to go to somebody else's place and win? You know, it's so difficult to go on the road and get a win in any college sport.
Right.
But for us to be able to go over there and win is just going to be tough in general, you know. So right. With all these good athletes, it adds on to just going to somebody else's house.
But from
a baseball coach's standpoint, we're in the playoffs.
Right. We talk about it all the
time.
That's right.
It's the playoffs now. That's why you always tell our guys, it's we're in the playoffs now. We don't have to worry about all that other stuff.
I think as a coach, and you know this too because you do it in the preseason, and then so it prepares you for your conference games, but we're always preparing on how to win on the road and life on the road and what you do. I think you look back over the last couple of years, we've been pretty good on the road, going into some tough places. I always bring it up because I don't avoid it. We didn't do a good job when we went to Sam Houston, okay? But we did a good job at A&M. We didn't do a good job at Sam. And then the rest of the way, I think we've been a pretty good road
team.
Responded
well.
So our guys, you preparing for that and how to do that. This is a little bit different, too, because it's not an overnight trip for us. Mm-hmm. It's a get on the bus early afternoon and get to the game and get back on the bus, come home, and hopefully with a W.
You know, not only the win that's very important this year, but one of the things I would think plays a big deal in this game is recruiting. Y'all fight after a few players, huh, I would think.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a state game. One of our goals is to, you know, well documented about winning every home game, but one of our other goals was to win the state and playing every team from the state on our schedule. Well, we did that two times already. We got to make it a third.
Yeah.
That just gives it's a little bit of bragging rights too.
There's a little familiarity going on with this game.
Yeah.
You know,
they played against each other in high school. They played against in playground ball. They know each other. So
the athletic director at Southeastern was my first boss.
How about
Seth? Spent some time there. I spent some time at Southeastern. Real familiar with the Hammond area.
That makes the rival even more special.
There's no doubt it goes deep.
Coach Rebo, we've got about a minute left. Just give me a few keys to victory against Southeastern.
Well, I think this, we got to do what we do. I think, as always, you got to protect the football. We got to try to win the time of possession, meaning they're going to try to run that football and hold that clock. If we could do that, I think we'll be in good shape. But running that football, we'll have to do. But remember this, we will do whatever it takes, you know, to win that football game. Run it, throw it. We're going to play great defense. We just got to do a good job in a kicking game. You know, it's going to be a solid effort. But if our guys go out, we're practicing hard, have a good day tomorrow, we'll be ready on Thursday.
Yeah, again, if you haven't seen the Colonels, please take that trip up I-55 North and go watch them battle Southeastern this Thursday. Kickoff set for 6 p.m. It's been a pleasure to be up here with you, Coach. I appreciate you having me.
Coach, I think on behalf of everybody in here, we all want to tell you thank you for a special year. It's been an amazing journey, and it makes us all proud to be Colonel.
Hey, it's all us. Let's do it again.
That's right. Let's do it.
We'll sweep it.
Let's get it done.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for joining us. Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime. We got to do this more often. Hey, maybe tomorrow night. Maybe we'll get together.
That's right. For Coach Jessclair, Coach Thibodeau, and, of course, Coach Rebo, thank you all for making this a special night.
Hey, best pinch hitter we had, man. Great job. Standing awesome job.
We'll see you next time, next place. Thank you.